Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
You know how frustrating that is to audition for several adult films and get callbacks? But at the end of the day, can't act, you can't act. Okay. How do you like your eggs, folks? That's what we're asking on this rainy Monday night in Wisconsin. How do you like your eggs? It's National Egg Day. Eggs should have their own day, as far as I'm concerned. But get in on the fun. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. How did you say you liked your eggs, Dan?
Over easy, like I like my men. I mean, my friends.
Whoops.
Yep. Nope.
He like just said like that. He just alerted the entire state.
No. Let me just play
dear Lord.
A little bell in the background.
That deserves some bell, I think. For the 818, Bridget says, fried egg sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could get into that. That works.
Oh, I love a fried egg sandwich. Ooh.
Jim from Appleton says, 8 tracks are radio carts on steroids. That is where they came from. And that and at the time, 8 channels was the limit at most recording studios. Todd, is that track?
Yeah. I mean, you know what the old carts are, right?
Remember
those? Yeah. Looked like the same thing, but they didn't have the separate tracks and stuff on them. So he's right on.
Jim always knows this stuff, but I didn't mean to question him on the air. But Todd, I got a radio legend here in Todd Michaels. And I did radio in college and I got chewed out. I remember putting the cart for I Get Weak by Belinda Carlisle in. And at night, it was supposed to be hard headbanging rock, and I got chewed out. What are you doing? What are you doing? Belinda Carlisle, really? It's like a college intern. This guy's going to beat me up. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, this is inappropriate, so no need to read on air. Well, now I've already started it, Jameson. I remember at college, the guys would joke. It's awful. I'm not going to.
That got awful quiet, awful fast.
Awful quiet, awful
folks,
fast.
Just insert your own horrible thing. It had to do with the reproductive system, and I didn't feel like I should. I don't even know, Todd. I probably could have read it, but I don't want to like get Jameson in trouble. I'm looking out for the listener. That's what it is. Jim from Appleton says, my stream got cut out. Did you guys cover the Bigfoot is a trans-dimensional being? Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of.
We did, Jim. Sorry you missed that. That was that's been what we talked about at the beginning of the show, and I want to say, Todd, we talked about that last time you were on. And then I got a text from Tom in New Berlin. The moment is gone, but he says Hoskins home run.
Oh, good.
Any idea what we might have been talking about then, Todd? That's the problem.
Sorry, no.
You don't. Yeah. No. Tom, I'm sorry. I lost Bob Hoskins. That guy could crush. He's a switch hitter too. Not the way
we think or
Jameson would identify him. Yes. You know. All right. So Dan Davies is here. We're talking film. We're talking Northeast Wisconsin film. There was just a conference at the Brown County Library last weekend that you attended. Tell us about Ed Gein. You were in a film you said that played all over ESPN, PBS in 2010 called Ed Gein the Musical.
Yes.
Was it musical?
Yes, it was.
Just tell us about the film in general, I guess. I'm curious.
So I came up with the idea. I'm from Wapaka, which is about 15 minutes from Plainfield, where Ed Gein is from. So you grow up with all his horror stories and all these great films that are based on him. And so I wrote it, but I wanted it to be comedic and I wanted it to be musical, but I also wanted it to be almost a psychological treatise of how he became who he became.
Right.
His dad beat him daily. His mom, they think, probably sexually abused him. So it was a recipe for a monster. And a monster he was. He was a cannibalistic, serial-killing necrophiliac. So he was a triple threat, I like to call.
Wow.
You know, he could sing, dance, and, you know, do impersonations.
Kill.
And kill. And so, you know, so when I was creating it, and I really wanted it to be fun, kind of lighthearted, but with gallows humor. But also just, you know, how did he, that's the one thing. How do people end up being this devious and bereft of morals? You know, how do they become that evil and nefarious? You know, that's why I wrote it. And that's why I created it, you know, and just to have some fun.
So you wrote it and there was music. That's not just did you write the music too?
No, Will Kaiser. I wrote a lot of the lyrics and Will Kaiser was our musical director, very talented guy from Appleton. And he's going to be directing and probably co-writing the Ed Gein the Musical 2, which we're in the process of. And the film is now becoming a theatrical play, and it's going to open in Manitowoc in September, which I'm really excited for as well. But yeah, it's different. It's a weird film.
Is it a short?
No, it's a full 90 wow. minute film.
Where can people see it? Can
it's on Tubi. It does really well on Tubi. And our distributor is SRS Cinema out of Salt Lake in Los Angeles, and they've been promoting it. And
I'm sorry, did you say you're in that as well?
I play Ed Gein.
You play Ed Gein. How many other people have played Ed Gein?
Oh, numerous people. There have been about 24 films about him.
Where do you rank your performance as Ed Gein mixed in with the others?
The best one was, what is his name? Flowers. And I forgot his first name and last name, but he was an older actor, but he was amazing at it.
Christian Bale play Ed Gein?
He based loosely on Ed Gein.
Okay.
Yeah. And and then you have, obviously Anthony Perkins, who played the psycho character, okay. which is based on Ed Gein. He was amazing in that too. And that kind of kicked off the new era of horror films when Hitchcock created Psycho based on Ed Gein.
So that's pretty cool. So how did PBS get involved with that?
So PBS, your predecessor.
I still work there.
Yeah. Kane.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Had us on his show.
Charles Monroe Kane. Yeah, the same show I hosted, but yeah. he was the...
Right. And then it got picked up on all these other PBS stations across the U.S. And it was just kind of had a life of its own. And then we traveled with it in 11 states and 500 theatrical showings. And it was an excuse for us to go to different, towns and cities and drink a lot of beer and race, hell and...
Make a movie while you're at it.
yeah. And it was fun having it screened at so many different places. It was a really good time.
Are the songs whimsical?
A lot of them are parodies. Yeah, okay. A lot of them are parodies. We have instead of, she's all cooked up. Uh-huh. some of those things. We have two or three original songs that Will Kaiser created and a couple that I created as well. I love the soundtrack. The soundtrack is Ed Gein the Musical, and that's available, all over. But it's different. When you're a filmmaker, you really want to push the envelope, and you really want to make it provocative and memorable. That's Hollywood is you. That's what you want. You go to films to see something memorable and provocative.
Let me ask you something. Can a good director, or producer, or actors make a bad script a good movie?
No.
That's a great answer. I agree with that. I was truly just curious as to what you'd say, because I feel like, as a writer for years, when you have a script, at least you have something. You have a story in your hands.
Yep.
Whether or not it ever gets produced, you have something. A producer, a director, actors can improv, sure, but I mean, without that, I feel like a great director, they call it like turd polishing, right?
Yeah.
You can make it look snappy for a while, but eventually a bad story becomes a bad movie.
Alfred Hitchcock, who did Psycho, they interviewed him. They said, what are the three best elements to making an amazing film? What is an amazing film? He said three things. Number one, it's storytelling.
Yeah.
Number two, it's storytelling. Number three, it's storytelling. It comes down to the story, the script. And you can't put shine on Shinola or that old
right.
Say. I don't think I can say that. Say
it. No, it's live radio. Thank you. tell us about Satin Meat Dolls. What was that film? that was on your resume as well.
It's Satin Meat Dolls. I get attached to all kinds of projects, and this guy from the West Coast saw me in West of Thunder on Hulu. He's like, I think you play a great Satan in this, and I'm like, thank you. And then so I get attached to a lot of different projects, and which is nice because you don't have to go through the audition process. And that never came to fruition because it was a terrible script.
Oh, it never got made?
No.
Oh, it's on IMDb.
It's still in pre-production.
Oh my gosh.
For the last 6 years.
Oh, and it's Satin Meat
Satin Meat Dolls.
Oh, Satin Meat Dolls. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I actually jumped online because I had to see something from this. So I'm glad to hear that I wasn't missing out, that it hadn't been quite made yet.
Yeah, that's it does say pre-production. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought that was okay. So what do you watch on TV, Dan? What are you watching? Share a pick or something
I'm a massive sports fan. So massive. I eat and breathe Packers, Brewers, Bucks, Badgers, Marquette, Green Bay basketball, Phoenix. I'm just a massive. So I watch sports pretty much all the time. I watch movies. I'm a movie guy. I'm not so much into episodic TV, but I'm a kind of an old school movie guy, and I love documentaries. Nothing as of late, because I've been so busy. I work. I'm a workaholic, and proud of that, and work like,
sure,
you know, 13, 14 hours a day, and I don't get an opportunity. You know, if the Brewers are on, I listen to, you know, the Brewers while I work. But big sports fan, like just massive. I don't think I've ever met anybody bigger.
Wow.
Yeah. I love Wisconsin.
What's going to happen with the Brewers this year?
You know, they are going to be competitive. I think they're going to start, I hate saying this, but I think they're so young, they're going to start to swoon. And I think St. Louis is going to come through. I'm hoping that the Brewers can do it, but first year manager, still super young team.
I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. I spent the first part of my childhood in Chicago, and I got kind of excited early this year. It looked like, I was like, oh, yeah, it could be fun, the Cubs and the Brewers. But damn it, the Cardinals are like one of those organizations. Yep. Yep. They're great. I mean, they're a great organization.
Yep, they are.
And here they are again.
Again, every single year they do it. They just consistently do it.
And they did it, the Brewers, in 82.
Yep.
Jeez, that's unbelievable. Well, this was fun, Dan. I hope I hope you come back. And
thank you.
What else are we missing? What else? Where can people see you?
So I've got a publishing company, and I wanted to quickly shoot out just one book. The Assassination of Baby Hitler is an amazing time travel romance, very funny, by W.C. Turk. That's out.
Oh.
It's called The Assassination of Baby Hitler. My company's RenegadePressPublisher.com. Some great books on there. All my authors are really talented. And yeah, just, you know, if my Wikipedia page is just Dan Davies, if somebody knows how to update that, because I'm not supposed to do that. I don't know how. And that would be wonderful. But yeah, that's, you know, my IMDb is Dan Davies as well. So just, you know, reach out and say hello.
Fantastic. It's been great having you, buddy.
You know, Pete, you're awesome. You're what's needed for the state of Wisconsin on so many different levels, and I love you, and I've been a fan of yours since 2005.
I appreciate it. When you first started saying, I thought you were going to tell me I should run for governor, and I got a little freaked out.
But why not? As a libertarian.
Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great
Pete.
Stuff, man. Thank you. That's Dan Davies. Check out his work. Check out Ed Gein the Musical on Tubi. That's pretty cool. Coming up next, it's Keith David's birthday. That might not mean anything to you right now, but we have an iconic scene for you and Michael Alexander coming up at 8:35. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Michael Alexander coming up in just a few minutes to talk about his documentary, Out of the Loop. Tomorrow night, David Paterson is on the show. He's a producer who wrote and produced The Bridge to Terabithia. And he will be talking tomorrow night about his new film, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, which you can see now. It is available to stream and in movie theaters all across the country. So David will be here, and I'll have part two of my discussion with Ben Reiser about summer movies and what we've seen. Ben always has good insights. And he saw Furiosa again, and he told me I have a new take on it, stuff I didn't catch the first time. So we'll ask Ben about that. I almost went to see it a second time this weekend with my son, but we did not get to the theater to see Furiosa for a second time. So I'm sort of lagging a little bit. You know, Todd, you've seen the original Alien, I assume?
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not a big movie guy.
Yeah.
Unless it's spooky and I know it's going to be good.
Alien's pretty spooky.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. You know kind of the general gist of it, right? What happens?
Well, there's an alien and then Sigourney Weaver's in it, right?
Yeah.
And that little thing comes out of the mouth and goes right up to her face. That's all I know of Alien.
It's horrible. I mean, it's first of all, it's interesting because we watched it. We kind of made a family movie night on Saturday, and we watched the first Alien. And this is Ridley Scott, who directed it. Great cast. It took, I'm not kidding, forever. Like, I think we all have shorter attention spans now, but this movie, nothing happened in Alien They were so full of themselves with the effects they had access to in 1979, I think it was. At the time, it was great, but when you're watching them show off effects in 2024 that are dated, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, it's still a good movie. Once the story starts, it's good. But then last night, my son and I watched Aliens, the follow-up, and Bill Paxton is so great in that movie. Sigourney Weaver's in it too, and Lance Henriksen. A really good cast. Again, nothing happens for the first hour of the movie. That just would not happen now. Like, they get right into things much quicker. Someone typically has to die now in the first 10 minutes of a movie to capture the audience's attention, because audiences are not as patient as they used to be. And I don't think the audiences are necessarily wrong. I could have used a little more action. Literally, I hit pause. We were 58 minutes into the movie.
Wow.
Until someone got offed, one of the cast members. And that might not even have been a cast member getting off. That might have just been until we see the alien. Yeah, it was really, it's frustrating. But I mean, I'm glad we watched it. It was good for a revisit every once in a while. But I have issues. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. And I know the owner was trying to put in a beer garden. And I don't know. I don't know. We might be doing the remote from there. I'm not sure.
Oh, my gosh. I want to be Pete Schwabba when I grow up. I want to do remotes from beer gardens.
All right. I'm going to ask you something seriously, Todd.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this for a few months. And I,
all right. Just, I be careful. I'm a very private individual.
No, I know. I know you are. And I just, I wouldn't, you know, divulge anything. But do you think you're more mature than me? Silence pretty
no,
much.
No, 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 no. Because here's the thing.
Okay.
There's a lot about you that I am kind of jealous of.
Really?
You've got all these connections. You've done some really cool stuff, you know. Yeah, I've lived outside Wisconsin. I've done radio in other states and all that kind of stuff. But I was never out in L.A., right? Never did that.
All right. So, I never did radio in L.A.
Yeah, but you were out there acting and writing and all that stuff.
All right. But the question is, do you think you're more mature than
me? No.
I don't even know why I think that's funny. I think you are.
I think we're pretty much on the same level. Like, we can have fun, but we know when, you know.
But you're like a real, you're the station manager here. That you're like an adult. I'm this guy coming on the air, making some wisecracks, and I'm having fun, and I hope people are entertained, but you're like a real adult. I'm in awe of people like you.
But I think I bring that sense of play to the job, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Have you ever found me really, really?
No. That's a good point. Yeah, even when we did that thing we did last summer at the Brown County Fair, you made that a contest of who could get more people over to the Civic Media Truth Booth.
I think what we do is just really, really important, but also,
agreed.
I mean, what a great gig.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I'm with you. This is fun, man. I love working with you. It's great. So I want to, okay, Keith David is probably not an actor. You guys are like, oh yeah, sure, Keith David. But
I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
Was this something that was supposed to be ready for me tonight?
Oh, was it not?
I don't think so.
Amanda cut it, I believe. But if we don't have it, that's okay.
Is it from a specific movie?
It's from Something About Mary.
Okay. I do have that.
Okay.
Right, I do. Cool. It was just, there was no Keith David on the tagline.
All right.
All right.
I should have clarified. Yeah.
That's all right.
I need to mark my files a little better.
All good.
But he is an actor that if you saw him, you'd know him.
Yep.
He was in Something About Mary. He's in the iconic scene where Ben Stiller zips his junk up in his prom tuxedo, and it becomes this whole event. And Keith David plays Cameron Diaz's stepfather, who has to go in and help Ben Stiller. And here's that scene now.
Okay, kid, listen, I'm coming in, okay?
No, don't.
Exactly what the hell is the situation? What, did you yourself or something?
Oh, I wish. I got it stuck.
You got what stuck?
It.
Oh, it, well, listen, it's not the end of the world. These kind of things happen. Let's have a look at it. No, for God's name and sake!
Shh, shh,
Sheila!
No!
Sheila, no, honey?
Don't.
Sheila, honey, you gotta come here. You gotta see this.
What? No!
Don't come in here, honey.
Don't!
Don't worry. She's a dental hygienist. She'll know exactly what to do.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Mrs. Jensen. How are you?
You okay?
Yeah.
Holy! Charlie, you could have warned me.
Keep it down.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Mrs. Jensen. I just don't want her. Okay. I don't want her here. You know.
Okay. Let's just relax here, okay? Now, what exactly are we looking at here?
What do you mean? What?
Well, I mean, is it the or the?
Is it the Frank or the beans?
And what was it? I don't remember.
It was a little bit of both. And his next line, Keith David's next line is, how'd you get the Frank over the beans? Like, Ben Stiller really messed it up. It was crazy. So it's Keith David's birthday today. I had to play that because he's been in a ton of stuff. He's a really good actor, but he turned 68 today.
You ever had that happen, by the way?
Not like where I couldn't undo it. But I've had that happen with Buttonfly, which takes a lot more talent.
Because wow, how is that possible?
No, it's never happened to me. I'm pretty careful. What about you?
I would say no.
No?
Okay. No. Nope.
Yeah, well, you have to be kind of a spaz. And that's why I think it works in that movie, because Ben Stiller was nervous. You know, he was in a hurry. It's like, when you're an adult, you respect your body a little more than that.
Right.
From the 414, Tom in New Berlin says, Pete, over easy so I can dip them and make an egg sandwich with toast. Folks, how do you like your eggs? It's a very simple question. Let me know and I will read your texts on the radio. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. When I come back, coming up next on Nightlight, Michael Alexander will discuss his documentary's stand-up comedy documentary, Out of the Loop. You got Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here's another instance where I need to read the texts right as they come in so I know what people are talking about. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, I agree with your guest. That's probably a pretty good rule of thumb.
I think that's where he was kind of saying what a great thing you are. Like, you're this
most
great.
Most likely.
Yeah, I'm serious. I think it was.
Wow. Well, that's very nice. Thank you, Tom. If that's what you mean. Otherwise, Pete, you're inept. No, that's very nice. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the text. And thank you for all your texts so far tonight, you guys. It's been great. We have one more. Ezekiel says, over easy, seasoned salt, eat it whole with a spoon like a real man. Wow. My manhood or someone's manhood has been challenged. Over easy. Okay. Seasoned with salt. I like that. Eat it whole with a spoon like a real man. Like in one sitting, Ezekiel, you're just taking one bite of the egg. You're doing a Belushi in the lunch line from Animal House. You're putting the whole egg in your mouth right away. That's interesting. I've never heard that before. But I guess if you're hungry enough, maybe that works.
I guess.
Craig Anthony says, unreleased Mark Borchardt movie. Or not made yet. I think pre-production. So this was kind of cool too. Willem Dafoe is originally from Appleton, Wisconsin. And he is... he's one of those guys that, like, sometimes actors make choices where it's like they do a weird role and then they go away for a couple years and it's like, oh, that killed their career. Willem Dafoe has done some of the weirdest roles and been part of some of the strangest movies. But the guy is like Teflon. Like, he just keeps coming back. His career is like kill proof because he's so unique looking and he's such a good actor and he takes chances. And I think that's so cool. He's going to play an afterlife detective in Tim Burton's Beetlejuice, which will open up in September. I think on September 6th. So we can look for our one of our native sons from here in Wisconsin, Willem Dafoe. Great actor. Okay, so as I've been talking about all show, I'm very excited to bring this next guest onto the show. He and I met years ago, I want to say at the Funny Firm, and... he was very helpful to me when I started off doing stand-up. I think I met Michael at probably one of the first two or three times I did stand-up, and he was like, hey, I like that joke, as so often is the case when you start talking to other comics. And he was a phenomenal joke writer. So I learned a lot working with him I don't know that we ever worked the road together, but we've always kind of kept in touch and been friends. And he has a great new documentary out called Out of the Loop, which kind of documents stand-up comedy in Chicago. And I would like to welcome him to Nightlight right now. Michael, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how you doing? I hope you can hear me. You're going in and out just a little bit, but can you hear me?
I can hear you perfect, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can deal with the audio thing, but thank you. That was a great compliment. I really appreciate that. You were, one of the rare comedians who were good from the beginning, like right off the bat, that you exhibited quite a bit of talent,
and thank you.
Which was really refreshing for comedians to not have to struggle with someone from going one color, a piece of fruit, to another.
Well, sadly, I never wrote any jokes after that, so that was my downfall. But no, you were a great joke writer. You used to do a joke about your mom and making chicken soup, and my mom thought chicken soup could cure everything. And it's like, that's great, Mom. It is good for you, but we still have to remove the bullet.
You remember that joke?
Oh, yeah. You had great jokes.
That joke heavily depended on my timing.
Yeah, well, that's a good...
my timing was off just a little bit. That joke would bomb.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably you could probably say that about a lot of jokes, though. So you're like just the guy to make this film. And Mike, I remember you were nice enough to reach out to me at some point and said, hey, can I interview for this film? And I don't know what happened, if we just didn't connect or what, but watching this today, I'm like, damn, I wish I was a part of this. Like, it's such a fun movie. And I'm watching all these old friends of mine talking. You got Campanera and Dwayne and all these, and Pardo and Gilmartin. It was just, it was great. I really enjoyed it. I got about 20 minutes left, but I really enjoy it, Mike. Very well done.
Well, thank you. I definitely wanted to interview you. I don't know what happened. We weren't able to link up. I think you weren't able to make it to Chicago because I think at the time you were definitely one of the first people that I contacted about it.
Oh.
So the first round of interviews I did, I think I started interviewing, it was at Zany's maybe around the 10th of January when I started, but you weren't able to get here for the interviews. And I never went to Wisconsin to do any because I was interested in interviewing Fred Klett, a really funny comic.
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Fred's a great comic, Milwaukee guy. I worked with him on the road several times and he was a great guy to work the road with. I loved working the road. And maybe you've had this experience too, like with older guys. And I was just talking about this with Gilmartin. He's not that much older than me, but Paul was never afraid to say, I'm not working for that money. That's terrible. And he called the club owner a weasel. Like, the club owner said, don't worry, I'll take care of you for New Year's Eve, because you always got more money on New Year's Eve. And we're in the green room getting paid. And Paul said, looks right in front of the club manager. He goes, oh, so-and-so is such an effing weasel. Like, I like the guys that just didn't care, because I never was that guy. I don't know where you line up with that, but that was
no, I always cared way too much what everyone thought, and I always cared too much what the club owners thought. But yeah, but Paul was, Paul took a lot of chances on stage right off the bat.
Yeah.
So he was, he talked about the Ku Klux Klan. He talked about, politics, talked about the mayor being corrupt, things of that sort. So, yeah, he was always kind of a guy who would definitely challenge people within his humor.
So you have so many great shots, Michael, of Chicago. You're a native Chicagoan. You were born there, like I was, and I lived there till I was 12. But you obviously are in love with your hometown because your shots are beautiful. All that B-roll, was that drones? Or how did you get all that as a filmmaker?
Yeah, a lot of it was drones. I commissioned someone to do that drone footage for me because I, quite frankly, don't know how to fly a drone. When I started, it was Out of the Loop was formerly named Laugh Till You Wind It. And, it premiered at Zany's Comedy Club way back in 2018 and I hated the edit. So I spent years trying to, choose an editor, find an editor to finally get it, re-edit it. And I never went to film school. I have no film school training. I just decided that I wanted to make this film because Chicago has such great talent behind, in front of the camera, especially behind the camera,
yeah.
Writers, producers. And I just thought that, there had never been a documentary outside of Funny Business, which is about, all jokes aside, first black comedy club in the city, which is a phenomenal documentary, Raymond Lambert's documentary. And other than that, there hadn't been any documentary that had been produced or released about Chicago stand-up comedy. And I thought that that was a shame. So I just pretty much taught myself how to basically shoot and, you know, put some things together and put a little small production team together. And it, but, you know, I shot so long. I shot years. I shot like 2.5 to 3 years. Wow. For that film. So, you know, I had sort of a production team sort of at the first maybe 6-7 weeks, and then they all kind of like fell off, and then it ended up being just me 98% of the time for the next 2 years. But it was an exciting thing to do. It was, what I really loved about it is that I got to see a lot of comedians, you know, when we did the interviews here in Chicago. And then also, you know, I did interviews in LA on 3 separate occasions. So it was really nice to see all the Chicago comics that had, you know, moved to Los Angeles, which is quite a bit of them, you know.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that. You and I were in LA at the same time, but when you're in LA, you kind of get lost. Like, well, like I remember as long as you're in Chicago or even the Midwest, like I'd see Fred Klett, I'd see you, I'd see Dwayne, I'd see Gil Martin, you know, but when you're out there, you don't get as much stage time. So you can be in the same town with someone for years and really never run into them, which is kind of the bummer. Like I liked living there, but I was there for 14 years and maybe I saw you once or twice, but it's just easy to get lost out there, I think.
Yeah, the first time I lived out there, it was great because, you know, I got a writing job from Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
So when I moved to L.A., I was like the next day or so, I was on the Paramount lot working for a show. And the second time I went, I was starving. and the only thing that I was able to get going the second time is that the Jamie Masada, the owner and founder of the Laugh Factory, he liked me as a writer, not as a comedian, and he wanted me to work with the Wayans brothers, but I had no interest in that whatsoever. But that was the only thing I could get going the second time. So
that's so great. You have, what I love about your documentary, Mike, is you have like all these great names. You know, you had, like I said, you had Dwayne Kennedy, Gil Martin, Jeff Garlin. It stayed so true to form. Like when he was on stage and I would see him in Chicago or anywhere, it was almost like he was trying to bomb or insult the audience, which I found hilarious, but he kind of did a little bit of that. He's like, oh, you're holding the camera that way. Oh, that's interesting. Like he's kind of taking shots at you. And I'm like, that's what you want. Right. And then you had Odenkirk, you played the Bob Odenkirk message to start it. I love that too. What were your favorite parts about making the film? Just talking to comics?
Well, I later learned that year one in film school, and especially when they go into documentary films, they teach you not to have a subject look directly into the lens. I didn't go to film school, so but really that's the first thing. That's day one of documentary within film school. But that was a great interview. And, you know, I've known Jeff forever, but it was really difficult to get that interview because Jeff had been offered a lot of documentaries. He had turned down documentaries. Mike Toomey, who was a great Chicago comic, was trying to facilitate an interview. And finally, Bert Haas from Zany's Comedy Club, he, you know, got in touch with Jeff for me. And then Jeff agreed to do that interview. But that was a lot of fun. That was one of the funnest interviews that I did. And I don't know if you remember him, a comedian named Shay Shay.
Oh, yeah. I love Shay Shay. He and I made the finals in the Johnny Walker contest 1 year, and he was doing Alan Thicke. Like, he was very funny. I always wonder what happened to Shay Shay because we lost touch.
He was in touch with me today because he's producing a reality show that he wants me to help him with. So he showed me kind of a rough cut of maybe the first episode that he has. So I was in touch with him today. But it was great, you know, when he told me that Dahmer story and everything. I don't know if you've gotten to that point, but he has this great Jeffrey Dahmer story. He ran into Jeffrey Dahmer at an open mic, and Jeffrey Dahmer pretended to be a booker for Letterman or something to try to get him to go outside with him.
That's true?
Yes, it's true.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Did he do it?
Yeah, you may not have been at that point in the film yet, but yeah, it's true. But there were a lot of, you know, great interviews, a lot of great stories. It was just great seeing people like Anthony Griffith, you know, who's, you know, one of my best friends, stand up, and seeing Martin, and you know, one of the standout interviews I would say was Jimmy Pardo. He was just hysterical. The entire interview
was very so funny. Mike, you mentioned, all jokes aside, this is interesting that, like, I saw that documentary. It was Ray Lambert was the owner, and John Davies produced it, I think. And I had John on the show about 3 weeks ago, and we talked about it, and I watched his documentary. What a great club that was. Like, what's so funny is how segregated Chicago is. It was also segregated in the sense that, like, I remember I did a cable show with Steve Segrin, and Bernie Mac called the cable show and said, "Hey, Steve, do you want to open for me on the road?" And Steve was like, and they were kind of joking, they were friends. And Steve said, "Do I want to open for you?" And they kind of laughed. And I'm like, "Who the heck is Bernie Mac?" 4 years later, this guy's got a hit TV show. I didn't even know some of the, like, I knew you, I knew Dwayne, I saw Mary Wong a lot, I knew Shay Shay, and Ty Phipps was one of my good friends when we first started.
Mark Reedy
and Anthony.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, sit tight. We're gonna talk about, I want to ask you about All Jokes and to see if you work there, but then I've got a lot of other questions for you about your documentary, which I really enjoyed. It's called Out of the Loop, folks. Check it out. It's on Prime, and it's just it's funny, it's good filmmaking. You won't be disappointed. We'll have more with Michael Alexander coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jack from Merrimack says, "How do I like my eggs? One of my favorite breakfasts is to make my patented scrambled eggs with stuff. What stuff? I open the fridge and the fridge decides. Add cheese? Always." Basically, he's saying whatever is in his fridge, he will add to eggs. That's gutsy. I don't know, man. To me, I'm learning a lot about myself tonight. Just scrambled. Pete, what's the name of the newest book he wrote? I think, is that Sherry's text from earlier from Dan Davies?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, yeah. Sherry, I'll find that out for you, but check out Mike's documentary, Out of the Loop. It's really good, and you can find it on Prime. Mike, what I love, here's another thing I love, and I know you met guys like this too. I remember working the Funny Bone in West Bend, and this young kid who just graduated Notre Dame comes up to me, named Owen Smith. He starts asking me about stand-up comedy. I'm like, "Oh, okay," and I gave him some advice, and 3 years later, he's like running a show in L.A., like, some of these guys like have these lightning trajectories and you're like, how does that happen?
Yeah. Owen. So you met Owen even, I met Owen in Chicago. He might've been doing comedy for 3 years. I think he started possibly in Cleveland or something like that, somewhere I think in Ohio, but yeah, he's done really, really, really well. You're right. Some people just kind of, you know, they just like are on a rocket ship and they go fast. One thing about Jeff Garland, though, Jeff Garland always knew he'd be famous. Jeff used to tell everyone he would be famous, and not saying that he had a big ego or anything like that, but it was just amazing how much confidence that he just always had in himself, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. One of these days off the air, I'll tell you my Jeff Garland story because it's really funny. And I would sound like I'm name dropping if I told it on the story because of where it took place and what Jeff said. And I'm not really good friends with Jeff by any stretch, but he's just so funny on stage and off, you know, like the guy is just, and you could see that because you're right. He didn't care. He had so much confidence, but I wanted to ask you about All Jokes Aside. Did you work there, Mike?
I never worked, All Jokes Aside. I'll tell you, you know, Dwayne Kennedy talks about it in the documentary, but I was afraid to work black rooms. I was afraid of black audiences. You know, I started, when I started doing stand up, there were no black comedy clubs in the Chicago area. I mean, I started in 1985. All Jokes Aside was founded probably sometime in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what year, So I was just, I always thought that I would be a certain type of a comedian and a comedian that might appeal more to black audiences and things of that sort. But I'm not sure that my humor would have necessarily done very, very well with predominantly black audiences. I'm not sure, but I wish that I would have given it a try, you know? So I never work, all jokes aside. I went there before with a friend of mine who passed away. His name was Alan Johnson. He was a writer.
Yeah, sure. Cartoon.
Yeah, he was a huge fan of Chicago comedy, yeah. But he died about 15 years ago. But one of the reasons that I wanted to include Bernie and I wanted to include All Jokes Aside, because I didn't know Raymond Lambert or Mary Lindsay at that time, and I really sought them out because I wanted to be inclusive, and I felt really guilty that I really didn't pay as much attention to black comics getting work at the white comedy clubs that I was able to get into. You know, there was a little bit of apathy from me towards that. And I've over the years felt really, really guilty. So I wanted to make sure that I would include as many black comedians as I could possibly get. Wow. There are more black comedians that I tried to get that I didn't necessarily know that I was not able to get four out of the loop. But, you know, All Jokes Aside was a great, great comedy club, not just black comedy club, a great comedy club.
Yeah.
And, you know, Raymond Lambert, if you ever get a chance to meet him, is an amazing person. So, and Bernie, I didn't know Bernie at all, really. I used to go to the Funny Firm, and Bernie would show up there. And the Funny Firm was a huge comedy club, 400-seat plus room, hot room in Chicago. And Bernie would go there on a Monday night when they would have this open mic night sort of a thing, and they would hurdle all the comedians, heard us downstairs in a room, and the booker named Lynn Ostrovich, who ran the club, he would decide who would go up, almost like a brothel, right. I would say. He would just, you or you or you or you or you. And I think he only let Bernie go up one time.
Oh,
and she had to remind, I had to remind Lynn of that when I interviewed him. But I just, you know, he was a stellar comedian. But he never got a fair shake at a lot of the so-called mainstream rooms, which were white comedy clubs at the time. So
yeah.
I just really wanted to make sure that I covered as much as I could with black comedy. I wish that we had a bigger segment of All Jokes Aside. It deserved more time. But, you know, we were trying to cover so much stuff within this, you know, a 40-year span of, you know, stand-up in Chicago.
Right.
And it's hard to give any area, you know, too much time.
We had, like I mentioned, John Davies, one of the producers who produced the film with Ray Lambert, and on a few weeks ago, and he said it was like a phenomenally run club, but theaters just were their undoing. Like people found theaters and they started going to theaters, but it sounded like just an amazing club. And I remember, you know, as a comic, Mike, you'd always get the reader and you'd see which comics were where. And it was always fun to see your name at Zany's or the Funny Bone. And I'm like, who is this George Wilburn? He's at the All Jokes Aside every week. This is the guy. This guy's got a dream gig. He never has to leave town. And then when I saw that documentary, I finally found out who he was. But
Oh, yeah. He was holding it down there.
Yeah. So who is, aside from Garland, you had Judy Tenuta, Marsha Warfield. Like, you had some really heavy hitters in this. Who's your favorite to interview?
Judy was a blast to interview. I'm trying to think if I could even say, you know, people like Anthony Griffith, because I, you know, he was the best man at my wedding. And I was really, really always close to him. So he was definitely easily one of my favorites. But Judy was great. Paul Gilmartin was a great, fantastic interview because, you know, he's, I'd interview him, he'd be so sarcastic with me at the same time, but I would never be offended by it because that's Paul, because he's just razor sharp. His wit is razor sharp. But, you know, there are other comedians I didn't get that I would have loved to get. I tried to get Carla Felicia. Carla Felicia was a phenomenal.
Yeah, she's a great comic.
And a writer. One of the best writers I've ever worked with. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to get her. I tried to get the late Jimmy Higgins and people that, and John Midas. I don't know if you remember John Midas.
I do.
There are a lot of comedians that I definitely tried to interview that I wasn't able to. You know, for that project, I also interviewed a lot of comedians who were part of the open mic scene, because at the time I was producing open mic, and the open mic scene in Chicago is
Mike,
oh, yeah.
Listen, we're running out of time. I'd love to have you back on for a part two. I do that sometime. Would you be available next week one night? We can finish this conversation. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's
sometimes
do it.
I run too long, but
No. Me too. And we got a lot to catch up on. We'll do it next week. I'll get in touch with you. That's Michael Alexander. Check out his documentary, Out of the Loop. It's on Prime, and it's great, folks. I'd also like to thank Dan David. Todd, thank you for producing the show tonight.
You bet, man.
All right. Thank you for all your texts. We'll be back tomorrow night with producer David Patterson. And Ben Reiser. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.